father. And every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Glad you could join us. Patrick Conley with you again. And you know, a few weeks back, I said we're getting about halfway on in Ordinary Time. Well, today we actually are. We're coming up on the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and seeing that after Christ the King, there's the 34th week of Ordinary Time. We are there. We're halfway through it. Can you believe it? Yeah, it's late July already. We're sitting in the midst of back to school sales, and, you know, kids are starting to tremble. Mothers are starting to rejoice, you know, all those sorts of things that are going on. But August is obviously a very beautiful and holy month as well. But we still got a couple of days and some very intentional things to celebrate here in July as well. Because if you're listening on Friday, it is the feast of Saints Joachim and Anne, Jesus's grandparents, right? So if you're familiar, I'm sure as you are, with the Proto-Evangelium Jacobi, then the Gospel of James, that's where we get the information about Saints Joachim and Anne. Thought it was written about 170 AD, and it's not part of Scripture. It's outside of the canon of Scripture, but at the same time, it is thought to give us some reliable information about who these two are. And we're celebrating them because, as you know, the Office of Evangelization, which produces the Rediscover Hour, has a special outreach to grandparents, and because grandparents have a particular role to play in the lives of their grandchildren. And of course, that can go in many, many different ways. But there's certain ways that I think grandparents can really be can learn some ways of interacting with their grandchildren and their children, for that matter, their children as parents, in ways that draw them into or back into the faith. One of those ways is, of course, prayer, and that's what this Sunday's gospel lesson is going to be all about. Continue on in St. Luke, of course, and we are now meeting the time when St. Luke has Jesus teaching us the Lord's Prayer. And I thought, as I was reading over that, I thought it's very interesting. His disciples came to him as he himself, Jesus, was praying. And when he finishes, they wait until he finishes, which is great. And then they say to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So interesting there that they would make this request of him. And, you know, oftentimes when people make requests of Jesus, he enters into whatever is more essential. If something is more essential, then he directs them to that, right? He even starts, as you may remember, his encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. You know, he starts the question, "Give me something to drink," as kind of a teaser into eventually him revealing himself as the living water, as the water that comes forth and gives life to all who partake in it. But this time, Jesus answers them directly. He just says, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father who art in heaven.'" That's what he says. When you pray, say. What is the subtle undertext there? I think it is that nothing is more essential than our developing our prayer life with God. Because the life of a disciple is the life of someone who follows after Jesus. The life of the disciple is someone who commits his or her life to Jesus, who willfully, even against their own proclivities, their own desires, at times against even their own needs, they sacrifice such that their relationship with the Lord is what is central, and that his love can work in and through them. That's what a missionary disciple is, and that's what Jesus calls us all to be. Pope Francis has reminded us of that we are all missionary disciples. And with that, I think that Jesus here is underscoring that to be a follower, to be a student, to be someone who gives their life over to Jesus, we have to keep those lines of communication open. And so I guess one question here in late July for you is, are those lines of communication open? maybe you're upset with the Lord. Maybe you've got something going on that you're not very altogether happy about in terms of what the Lord has done in your life or is not doing in your life. Well, keep the lines of communication open. God can take it. We see it all the way throughout Scripture of people, you know, giving themselves in their own emotional state, whatever that might be, with the Lord. We see Abraham arguing with God over the destruction of Sodom, you know, in a sense of, wait, what if there are 50 righteous people present? What if there are, you know, all the way down to, what if there are 5 righteous people present? So he's bartering with God, as it were. David himself, how long, O Lord, you know, where are you and what are you going to do? What are you doing in our midst? We see this throughout Scripture. We also see it in the lives of the saints themselves. Who give who they are. I mean, the Lord knows what we're thinking, what's on our hearts and minds anyway. We might as well be honest with him about it. But if we close off the lines of communication, then there's no way. There's no way that he can reach in and change us, because he lets us have a say in what he does. And that's why Mary's fiat is so centrally important, because she, being the model disciple, teaches us to say, you know, Lord, let it be done to me according to your will. And that's why that same prayer that Jesus taught us, our Father who art in heaven, says, thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in my life as it is in heaven. All right, so that's my little fervorino for this morning and for this day. If you're listening on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, I hope that connects with you in some way. May the Lord's will be done by us keeping the lines of communication open. We're going to be talking today with Nell O'Leary, who joined us last week. She's back this week for another interview along with Bridget Busacher. We're going to be talking about the Behold series for young women. So that's what's going on with them. Brothers Conrad and Pio from the Franciscan Brothers of Peace are also with us to talk about Blessed Solanus Casey. And also joining us a little bit later in the program, Crystal Crocker, Director of the Office of Evangelization, is going to be with us to talk about that upcoming Grandparents Conference as we are celebrating the grandparents of Jesus, the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we, as always, let's pause at the top of the show, committing the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, Nell O'Leary and Bridget Busacher are with us to talk about the Behold series for young adult women. So stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year, and a guaranteed minimum return in the future, with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. You know, I was just talking right before the break about the Blessed Virgin Mary's Let It Be Done Unto Me According to Thy Word. Coming right before that, of course, is Behold the Handmaid of the Lord. And I'm guessing that's where Behold, the series gets its title. And talking to us a little bit about the Behold series for young adult women, Nell O'Leary joins us in studio again. And if you missed it last week, here's the wonderful bio of her. She's a recovering lawyer turned blogger, speaker, and sower of baby goods while tending to her husband and four kiddos in the great city of St. Paul. She serves as managing editor for Blessed Is She and can down a hot cocoa in no time flat. She's speaking at the Archdiocesan Women's Retreat coming up in September. And she is with us again this week. So welcome back to the program, Nell.
Thank you so much for having me, Patrick.
Yeah, and joining us on the phone, Bridget Busacher, who is also a regular appearer here on the Rediscover Hour. She's a health educator and communications specialist with the Minnesota Department of Health, and she's founder of the website Managing Your Fertility. So do check that out if you have not yet. Bridget, welcome back to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, it's great to have you two wonderful young ladies here to talk to us about the Behold series. So why don't we start, Nell, with you? What is the Behold series?
The Behold series is really an opportunity for women to come and hear about how to develop their gifts, what those gifts are, and encourage them in bringing them out into the community.
Okay. Well, that's simple and straightforward. Bridget, have I got you on board with that as well? That sounds right to you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Wonderful. So we've got those two things nailed down. All right, so now we're going to get a little more complicated. So you and Bridget, you're going to be presenting on the art of Catholic entrepreneurship and blogging. Blogging. And blogging is still kind of a thing, huh? It's still going on.
It's still going on.
I've kind of lost touch with it, to be honest. But yeah. All right, so share with us a little bit about your own entrepreneurship and your own experience in blogging, Nell.
Well, I started blogging when my oldest was 6 months old. Now he's 9. So I guess that makes me an old-time blogger.
9 years.
He's 9 years old. That's true. 9 years old. 8.5 years ago.
Well, that's a long time, yeah.
It's a long time. So I've seen a lot of transformations in that and in social media. But for me, the foundation was, gosh, I'm kind of lonely. And I want to connect with other Catholic women. And I want to share about what I'm doing in my life. And I want to kind of poke my nose into the internet and see what they're doing in their lives. And I see a big transformation now from it simply being a platform for people to chat and connect, and a way to instead really evangelize and draw into a bigger, deeper, more rich community of sisterhood.
Okay, fair enough. Bridget, how about you? Why don't you weigh in on that as well? How do you get started, or how are you at blogging?
So I started my blog back in 2014, 2015, and it was a resource. I was doing an internship in Northern Ireland, and it really transformed. I love this idea of storytelling, and as Nell was saying too, connecting. And seeing within the world of blogging, there were a lot of Catholic bloggers working together to connect with each other. It wasn't so much just sharing your story and putting it out there, but people were actually building community. And I think what I've seen, especially in the past couple of years, which I think is really important, especially now that we deal with so much mental health struggles and isolation, is seeing that these online communities are becoming in-person communities. Mm. And so that's been a transition that I've seen happening before me that's been really amazing, and that's a way in which I've used blogging, but also using social media as that opportunity to take it to the next level, to figure out, you know, is there an opportunity to bring people together in person so that we're not just being seen, but we're also being known, and that deeper desire that we have to be able to really build in that sisterhood and those communities and those friendships, and expanding who we know and the ways in which we can evangelize and share that beauty of friendship and relationship with other people who are also desiring and craving for something more like that.
Yeah, so you're both hitting on this community aspect of it, the sisterhood aspect of it, that is an important piece of it. Now, Bridget, you also founded Managing Your Fertility, an online basically resource. So tell us a little bit about Catholic entrepreneurship and your experience in founding Managing Your Fertility.
Yeah, great question. So it's been a couple of years now. I started this resource when my husband and I were looking at NFP resources. We were newly engaged. And I had been charting for a couple of years, but as we were looking to see, okay, what method based on our lifestyle, what we're looking for, what are we doing, and how do we move forward with this, we're on board, I just found that there really wasn't one place that I could go to and compare and contrast methods, and was finding it rather frustrating. And there were different Facebook groups, but it got really overwhelming after a while, just in this process of searching without actually applying it yet. And so with the Given Institute starting in 2016, I was part of its founding year, I proposed this idea that was rather broad of an NFP resource that was online. And it really took shape through training sessions and conversations with other women who were at this training to be able to determine, okay, what could this look like online for individuals, to be able to connect them to resources for NFP, to be able to help connect them to community, to practitioners, so that it really is a one-stop shop. but it's not meant to give all the answers and help you DIY NFP by any means, but to actually take you to the next level to say, here's everything that you need at a high level. If you have questions, here's where you can go. If you need a certain practitioner, here's where you can go. If you need a particular method, here's where you can go to contact that person, and pushing people to have those in-person connections or online services and trainings, so that they're not just thinking, okay, I guess I just can't do this. This isn't for me. And that was something that I was also seeing, was that lack of connection community for people who maybe didn't have a thriving parish community or were living in a location that really didn't allow for them to be able to tap into as many in-person resources or know where to go. And so it really started from there, and it's been a process working with Catholic Women in Business and their mentorship program and pushing to grow this into a business instead of just an online resource. So that's been the process that I've been in.
Wow.
Right now.
Nice. So, but it really started with you seeing a gap or a lack, as you put it, of resources that were available at least in one place. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, wonderful. All right, so Nell, back to you for a second. Say there's a particularly another, but maybe even I don't know if the advice would be particularly for women or not, but if someone's interested in developing either a blog or a business or something like that, what kind of advice would you give them?
I think the first place to start is to take a really honest look at what your strengths are and what your interests are. And how do those two things overlap, right? Mm. Sometimes we can be really passionate, but we don't have the tools yet to make that come to fruition. So take that assessment, take that personal inventory, talk to a list of trusted advisors, the people in your life, your family, friends, folks who know you best. And then from there, you can amass your plan of how do you move forward? Who do you speak with? Who do you talk to? Who do you hire? Who do you work with? But you have to get a good baseline before you really dive in.
Yeah, okay. And when it comes to blogging particularly, I'm assuming you would recommend that people write what they know. That's what you always hear, you know, people giving advice to writers, write what you know. I assume that's true for blogs as well, right?
Yeah, I think it's true for blogs. And I think, you know, for something like Bridget, you know, she has amassed a place for coming together, a place of information. So she's not saying, I'm an expert in this topic, but she's saying, here are the resources for something. Mm. So for like Blessed Is She, mm-hmm. where I'm the managing editor, you know, we have an enormous and booming Catholic women's ministry, and our writers write what they know and share it in your daily devotional emails. But if you're looking for a private personal blog where you're trying to start something, yeah, you really do have to write what you know and also write what you're interested in and what you're passionate about.
Yeah. Would you agree with all this advice that Nell is doling out over here, Bridget?
Absolutely. I completely would. I completely would.
Okay. Very good. So let's boil this down into Behold a little bit, because there's some linkages here with some of the things we're talking about, and encouraging and developing that sisterhood, bringing young women together. What is it? Let's start with you, Bridget. What is it about the Behold series that you particularly enjoy or appreciate?
I really like the integration of the spiritual and the practical. So as Nell was saying, you know, you're doing those different strategies and working with other people and figuring out your strengths, your skills, your interests, and you're doing all that practical work. But I think what Behold does is really merging the two and figuring out, okay, you know, you're bringing in the foundations of your prayer life and you're asking God, what is he calling you to? But then you're also doing the very practical work and the strategy that's needed to be able to determine, okay, how do I bring this to fruition? How do I make this actually happen and integrate whatever it is that I'm being called to do into the church or into my community or into my neighborhood, whatever that might be? And I think it's really great to be able to have that mix, because so often what I see is, you know, a resource that's faith-based stays very high level or stays with very related to faith, which makes sense, or for business strategies or coaching sessions, you know, it's very, very much the practical. You're not really talking about gifts and graces and what is God calling you to. So I think for Behold to be able to live in both spaces and really bring them together to show the fullness of what that can look like is so powerful and really helps for women and myself too. You know, as much as, you know, I am a seeker, I'm also a participant, to be able to think through, okay, how do I live this out? What does that look like to take it to the next level as I'm praying about it, and to have that courage to say, okay, now I'm going to be implementing these practical steps. What does that look like for me? And recognizing that failure is okay and going through the motions of that has been such a huge gift, and I think it's a huge gift to the church.
That's great. All right. Nell, same question. What do you appreciate? What have you found inspirational about Behold?
I love this idea that we each have something to bring. In today's world, young women can feel so discouraged. Everyone's doing it better. Everyone's already done it. What do I have? What could my voice possibly add to this cacophony of sound already? And the notion that we are here to pray with you and help you discern what it is you have. Because you have something. You have a unique something, a gift, that thing God's put on your heart. And we want you to share. We want you to blossom. We want to help you launch that out into the world.
All right. Wonderful. Okay. So what is the, let's just talk mechanics here for a moment. Nell, I think I'll toss this question back to you. Is that what are the mechanics of this 8-week Behold series? I mean, what do young women do? They just call up? Or is it, I mean, it's an in-person meeting, I would assume. But what happens?
Well, you know, you're coming to this event and you're getting a chance to hear from women like Bridget and I. We'll be doing a session together. But in that time in which you're there, you're also having a lot of time for questions and answers, mm-hmm. a lot of time for personal engagement, a lot of time for making those relationships and getting some of your ideas out and hearing feedback on them.
Mm-hmm. Bridget, what about you in terms of if someone were to... Some young woman you were to encounter is kind of expressing what Nell was just saying. What do I have to add? What would you say to her to encourage her to take part in the Behold series?
I would say come. Have the courage to come and show up, because it doesn't mean that you have to have a perfect plan in place or the perfect idea. It's really taking those things that are on your heart or that keeps coming up in prayer, or you're finding you have a passion for and you're trying to figure out, where does this fit into my life, where does this fit in moving forward in my life and how I can live this out, if this is what I'm called to live out, if I should do this, if it's crazy, if it's not crazy. I think all those questions are a great place to be at in this exploratory phase, to be able to bring it to the Behold series, attend these different sessions, and be able to talk through and be vulnerable. I mean, it really is taking this idea that you have and being willing to share it and being open to the feedback that you receive, and just to see, like, what are the different ways that it can take shape. I know personally for me, going through Given and even, you know, participating and speaking at Behold, you know, being open about those ideas and recognizing, like, it might need to change or it might not be perfect, and that's okay, because it allows for that particular idea that you have to really blossom and to really take shape and to have an opportunity to connect with other women too, instead of just living in your head and thinking to yourself and going back and forth with yourself. You're really allowing other people to speak into it, and they can also be those individuals to speak truth into it when it really is a great idea to move forward with. And to have that courage to be able to say yes, to take the next step in implementing it.
Wow, fantastic. Well, I thank you both for the work that you're doing. The series is Behold. It's going to take place Thursdays, October 3rd through November 21st at 7 p.m. If you come at 6:45, you'll have some fellowship and hospitality time, and it ends at 8:30. So it's really an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes out of your time. It's going to be at Our Lady of Grace in Edina, and young women ages 21 to 29 are invited to come. You need to register online, though, so you can go to archspm.org, click on events, and you will find that link to Behold and to the online registration. So Nell O'Leary and Bridget Busacker, I thank you so much for joining us once again on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you in all the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
Thank you so much.
All right. So we are going to turn the page here from Lay Sisters. That was my teaser for this episode of the Rediscover Hour. So Lay Sisters to Religious Brothers. So joining me in studio now are both brothers Conrad and Pio from the Franciscan Brothers of Peace. Brother Conrad serves as the community servant, which is their title for the religious superior there of the community. And Brother Pio is part of the formation team for novices, focusing in on Franciscanism and church history. Welcome, brothers, to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Patrick. Good to be with you.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, great to have you here in studio, fully decked out in the habit and everything, as always, I would assume. So that's great to have you with us. Well, let's just start simple. Brother Conrad, let's start with you. Who are the Franciscan Brothers of Peace?
Oh, brother, who art thou?
Yes, exactly.
In other words.
Pretty much.
Sure. Well, the Franciscan Brothers were founded locally. We were homegrown in 1982. By two young men who met in seminary here at St. John Vianney, and both were discerning the diocesan priesthood. This was in the late 70s, early 80s. Michael Gaworski, a graduate of St. Thomas Academy, and Paul O'Donnell, studying from Omaha, had met, became very fast friends because of a common conviction of defending the most vulnerable, preborn children, very high priority. And it was just on their heart and a great passion of theirs. Michael, at one point, discerned that he might have a greater call to religious life, communal life. And so he discerned out and pursued that, visited a couple of communities, not really finding the charism that he felt on his heart, But just in seeking God's will, came back to the Archdiocese and visited with an official there with a very open heart, wanting to do what God was calling him. And he and Paul, at the same time, they started a ministry still going very strong today, Pro-Life Action Ministries under with Brian Gibson at the helm.
Yes, we've heard of them and him.
Yes, absolutely, Radio, absolutely. And so a year after the Pro-Life Action Ministries was founded, the Franciscan Brothers of Peace came to be. And so for those 37 years, we've been doing various kinds of apostolates in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, by sidewalk counseling, prayer support outside of abortion centers. We have an emergency food shelf, clothing distribution. We've given sanctuary to international victims of torture, housing men who are seeking asylum because of being tortured in their countries, and also working a lot with refugees from Burma, Myanmar, the Karen and Kareni particularly. And so, yeah, the brothers are just very grateful for our vocations and with the foundation that our four brothers, Brother Michael and Brother Paul, had laid for us that we are building upon.
Yeah, still building upon that. Okay, so Brother Pio, I'm going to pitch one to you since you are all about Franciscanism. That's part of the history of the Franciscans. So why are the Brothers of Peace Franciscan?
Well, I think each one of us in our discernment of our vocations just felt a call to the charisms of St. Francis, whether it was poverty, joy, just great love of Jesus, following the gospel. And, so each brother, felt an attraction on his heart from that. And that when we live out our daily lives, that's what we're trying to cooperate with God's grace as best we can to do that.
Amen. Nothing better than trying to cooperate with God's grace. That's wonderful. All right, and so Brother Conrad, how strong is the fraternity right now? How many brothers do we have?
Well, we have 11 brothers, and we have two brothers who are discerning right now, professing first vows, and two brothers that are in first vows that are moving towards final profession of a period of initial formation, which lasts about 5 years. Beginning with postulancy onto novitiate and 3 years of first profession until final vows. So, many other young men who have been contacting us, coming for a come and see visits. And particularly, we have a little more room to do that because of a new friary that we have opened in addition to our headquarters, Queen of Peace Friary in the Midway of St. Paul. Is Blessed Solanus Friary on the east side of St. Paul, next to St. Patrick's Church.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because one of the things we want to talk to you about is Blessed Solanus Casey himself, and it was interesting that your new friary actually has taken his name. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about it. Again, I'll turn to the church historian here, Brother Pio. Who is Blessed Solanus Casey?
Okay. Well, Blessed Solanus Casey was a man that is a local from our area, too. He grew up in western Wisconsin on farms.
All right.
Right by Prescott. And his parents came from from Ireland, of course, kind of as a result of the potato famine. So he grew up on a farm, a large Irish family, was baptized in Hudson at St. Patrick's Parish there.
Nice.
In Prescott.
In Prescott,
baptized.
Okay. Yep.
And then his first communion was at St. Patrick's in Hudson. So he had a good big family life on the farm. There's a lot of ups and downs of weather and things like that, a couple moves and things. And later on, he lived in Stillwater, had many different jobs as a late teen, early 20s in Stillwater. Like among them was a streetcar operator.
Really?
Worked with the lumber on the St. Croix River before that. And when he was working with the streetcar in Superior, Wisconsin, there was an incident that a young woman was murdered and lying dead on the tracks right by where he was. And he really felt just deeply moved as far as vocational discernment and things by this. So he started to feel an attraction to the priesthood. He went through a time where he went to seminary in his early 20s in Milwaukee that was very German focused.
Okay.
And that was very difficult for him as in a new Irish first immigrant, you know, generation immigrant.
Right. Yeah.
So that he had discerned out, and that just didn't work well.
Okay.
And then there was a struggle for a few years, but then in his prayer, he was given a message from the Lord to go to Detroit. And there was, he knew what that meant because he had looked at the Capuchins very briefly before, a branch of the Franciscans. And so he went there, and they accepted him. And he it was a novitiate and everything. He was ordained a priest in 1904. But it was a special situation, a simplex priest, which means he couldn't preach doctrinal homilies or hear confessions. But everything else he could do. So once he was transferred to Yonkers and to Manhattan, and they didn't really kind of know what to do with him at first because of those conditions. Mm-hmm. But gradually over time, they gave him real simple things, and then he began to be a porter. And I think that's where he really had his charism and his niche, because people came to him from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. And he was just a wonderful listener, counselor, kind of miracle worker for their prayer intentions and everything. And he moved people greatly. And then he was spent 20 years in Detroit later with the Capuchin community there. He made a great just effect on the local people and everything.
Wow.
And of course, was a local, and he was beatified in just a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
in Detroit.
Yeah, very good. So, Brother Conrad, tell us a little bit about his own canonization process. Like, where is it now, and what's where are we? How did the beatification process come about? How did it go? Were you there? You know, that sort of thing.
Well, Brother Pio and I were very blessed to be able to be present in Detroit in November of 2017 for the beatification with 20,000 other people in the football Ford football stadium there. First mass ever celebrated on that field, for sure.
Yeah.
An amazing event.
Yeah.
The beautiful thing is that this woman who had visited the Father Solanus Casey Center in Detroit, where his tomb is and where people come and pray before his tomb. She came there and visited and had this, this list of intentions to pray for other people. Mm-hmm. But before she left, she had this sense of what do you need? What do you need? And she did pray. She had a skin disease that caused her skin to just flake off and blister and peel and very painful disease. And so she did pray about that before leaving. As soon as she did, her skin started to feel this different sensation. And instead of this dead skin that or continuing wounded skin growing underneath, there was supple pinkish skin. And it continued until a complete cure happened that is just unexplainable. And so that was the miracle that was accepted and that went forward, and where Pope Francis declared that Solanus would be among the blessed.
Wow.
And so now Father Larry Weber is the vice postulator. He is a Capuchin friar in Detroit, and along with the other vice postulator in Rome that is continuing the process towards canonization, which also requires another miracle. The funny thing about the miracles, though, with Blessed Silanus is that unlike many saints who, you know, the process of the church praying to or asking for the intercession of a particular person who was, you know, just lived a very virtuous life, is Father Silanus, so many miracles attributed to him while he was alive. Mm-hmm. You know, being the porter, as Brother Pio mentioned, mm-hmm. God's holy doorkeeper, one of his titles he had. People just coming, seeking prayers of him. And then one of his famous lines is thanking God ahead of time. And he was just had this very simple trust, very pure trust in God's divine help and prophetic. And so many people came with concerns of family troubles and illness and crisis. And he was, even if it wasn't, you know, the best news, and, you know, he just had this this ability to put people at ease, and miracles happened. He said, no, this person is going to be just fine.
Yeah.
And they might be facing a terminal illness or a leg amputation or something. And so it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Thanking God ahead of time. I love that. Now, of course, because he is a blessed, is beatified within Holy Mother Church, we can all, we can call on him in his intercession. We can venerate him. We can count him as one of our big brothers in the faith. That sort of thing. We can all feel close to him. But Brother Pio, I'm just wondering if there's a specific, or if there's a special connection that you all feel because he's a brother Franciscan.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And his just his simplicity, you know, his rapport with the poor, following after Saint Francis, for sure, very very strongly. The local connection is very nice too.
Yeah,
as a Minnesotan, Wisconsinite,
yeah.
You know,
right.
So that's fantastic. So we feel really blessed to have him as one of our brothers in Francis and in the faith.
That's great.
It's awesome.
Well, we've got, we need to make mention of, we've got a drama coming up here on the life and times of Blessed Silanus Casey. Brother Conrad, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely. One of our good friends, her name's Molly Delaney Druffner. Her and her husband, Dr. Mark Druffner, are parishioners at St. Mary's in Stillwater. And in leading up to 2000, she had read some books on Father Silanus. And of course, still, St. Mary's in Stillwater is where Father Silanus was confirmed, actually.
Nice.
And so she was curious about this friar, and she's also an actress and playwright, and so she started writing, and she created a play in 2000, and subsequently also founded a group called the John Paul II Players, and it was inspired by St. John Paul II's motivation for the new evangelization. And so actors, a lot of them have been Druffner kids. There's a number of kids of the Druffners that have portrayed parts, including Dr. Mark Druffner, who plays a major role in this upcoming performance this Sunday evening at 7 p.m. So she has always wanted to do this. And the brothers are presenting this in Thanksgiving for Molly's generosity, and Mary Kratz, who's actually directing the play, and the many to help raise funds to replace the roof of Blessed Silanus Friary,
nice.
Which is going to be right next door to where the performance is being held at St. Patrick's Church on the east side of St. Paul, and it's this Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Tickets are at the door. And we also are blessed to have some special guests with us, including Brother Richard Merling Capuchin, who is the Vice Postulator Emeritus, who will be joining us, as well as three family members of Blessed Silanus Casey. We have Sister Anne Herkenrath, who is the grandniece of Blessed Silanus, and also Dr. James Conley, who is the grandnephew of Blessed Silanus Casey. So they're going to be with us. We're blessed to have first-class relics that were given to us by the St. Joseph Province of the Capuchins after his beatification. And so Father Seraphim Worth, he is our newly ordained priest brother in the community. After the performance, he's going to offer a blessing to those wanting a blessing with the first class relic of Blessed Solanus Casey. And then, of course, when there's friars, there's usually food. So
I was going to ask.
There's a free ice cream social that we'll be having as well. So it's going to be a great celebration. We hope many people can come and join us and witness this beautiful play about his life.
Yeah. Well, Paul and I will hit the details again at the end of the show, but let me just reiterate, 7 p.m. this Sunday, July 28th at St. Patrick Church on the east side of St. Paul. There is a ticket cost involved, but you know what? It's all going to a good cause, replacing the roof at the Friary, the new Solanus Friary. $10 for kids 12 and under, $12 for seniors and students, and $15 for adults. And you get that free ice cream social, a chance to intermingle with Father Solanus's own, his kin, those who are part of his family, and you get this great drama to learn more about the life and times of Blessed Solanus Casey. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time, brothers, but let me tell you, Brother Conrad, Brother Pio, it's a blessing to have you in studio, and it's a blessing to have you in our community, so thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to go to our next break. When we come back, Director of the Office of Evangelization, Crystal Crocker, is with us to talk about the upcoming Grandparents Conference, so stay with us.
Talking about loving our enemies today.
The Inner Life with Chuck Neff.
This is from one of our listeners. She says, "Sorry to say, I literally hated two of my sisters for something they did to my dear mother. I would confess this hatred, but kept struggling and going over the incident time and time again. The turning point was reading the wise words of a 95-year-old priest, and this is what he wrote. Pray for the person you resent day and night. Call down God's blessings on them. Lord, give them good health, joy, peace, love, and happiness. Refuse to speak of their faults. Become their cheerleader. Peace will come." I taped his words to the back of my bedroom door so that I pray for them first thing and last thing every day. She says, "I won't forget what they have done, but that horrible, sinful hatred is long gone."
Wow.
We just could repeat that about 10 times here. Such great advice for all of us.
Hope and help for your faith journey. The Inner Life. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio. Talk radio for Catholic life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio, a good friend as well as my boss, director of the office of Evangelization here for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Crystal Crocker's with us. Welcome, Crystal. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Yeah. I sometimes don't feel like the boss. You guys tell me what to do all the time, and I depend on it. You
we
guys
give
are
some
great.
Feedback, I, constructive feedback. Yeah, That's no. what we give.
Well, I'm blessed. I have a great team working in the Office of Evangelization. Susanna Parent, office manager there, and she keeps me on track with my schedule. And Enzo Randazzo has just recently come on full time, so he's going to have some additional responsibilities beyond the men's ministry. He's going to help us bring Alpha to the Archdiocese in a bigger way. And he's also looking at young adults. And he's going to be taking a pilgrimage with some young adults and the bishops in January to the Ad Limina.
Yeah,
visit.
We talked to him about it here on the Rediscover Hour. Yeah. It's an exciting thing, and I'm glad he's on full time. It's great to have him.
Yeah, and then, of course, you, Patrick.
Oh, yeah, you know, I just do this radio thing and a little call and gifted stuff here and there.
And you help us in many other ways.
All right. Anyway, this show is not about that. So it's about this upcoming Grandparents Conference, which we'll get into. But first, I want to know, how did your life change, Crystal, when you became a grandmother?
Okay. I didn't get to see these questions beforehand.
Nope. Well, they're right off the top of my head, so nobody got to see them.
Well, so I am a grandmother. My husband and I are grandparents of three. Our oldest daughter, got married 2016, and they just got busy right away and gave us a Lily, who's just turned 2 July 2nd, and she's just beautiful. They had a second son, Luke Joshua Delaney, who is a saint now in heaven. There's a beautiful story that we may write about someday, but he was a special needs child, and it was a miracle that he lived for 4 months. So again, a pro-life story there. We'll save that for another day, but we feel blessed to have known Luke. And then our second born is married and has a baby boy, March 7th, James Thomas. So we're getting these great Catholic names here.
Yeah,
James Luke Thomas. And James. Yeah,
that's very good. That's very good. So, yeah. but again, how did your life change when you became a grandmother?
Right. Well, you know, that's interesting. People said that it would change, and you have to make a shift. It's been very good for me to experience this as we go out and develop our grandparent ministry and speak about it and share about it. And I have been asked to speak on occasion about it, not only in our archdiocese, but others that are looking at this grandparenting thing as really an important part of keeping the faith passed on from generation to generation. Because if we don't do that, you know, who's going to do it? Who is going to pass it on? The secular culture has really made some challenges on this younger generation, and they express themselves as not religious, but, you know, not affiliated and more of a spiritual dynamic. And some of them are not baptizing their children, which is kind of alarming to some of our grandparents. So I have now been on that side where I'm looking at our grandchildren, and just my heart is just so open and bursting for them and wanting, you know, a better life or a good life for them. And that need to really pass on the faith. Hmm. In every adult child that begins their family, there may be some unique circumstances to them. And that's the challenge as a new grandparent, to recognize that, you know, one speech, one size doesn't fit all.
Right.
But to really develop those relationships with the adult children that have now the grandchildren, and then the relationship with the grandchildren. And again, everyone has their unique personality. So we really need to lean on our wisdom, lean on prayer, guidance with the Holy Spirit, and how we can be present in each one's life.
Mm. Well, I was going to, you already got going on this, but I was going to ask if your relationship with your children changed when they started having children.
Well, yeah. So that's interesting, because we have to shift from being, you know, they're adults now. I mean, they know me. I still speak what I think, but
what? Wait a minute. Really?
But I temper it, and I always, you know, I've had to learn, especially with the new, you know, the son-in-law and the new daughter-in-law, right? So
right.
Getting to know them and developing that relationship and waiting to be, for my opinion to be, you know, to ask, you know, when they ask for my opinion, rather than just jumping in and saying it as we've always done as a parent. And I give my opinion, and then I always say, but you know best your family situation in your life. You just need to know I'll be praying for you, and I'll always be here to support you and love you through any of the difficulties. And we certainly have experienced some difficulties in our life here now in this short span of having, you know, our oldest grandchild is 2. So I've already seen, I've already witnessed some of the difficulties that grandparents can go through. And I really think it's so important to really stay close to Jesus and your own faith and practice it in a deeper way, because those spiritual graces, unseen, are abundant.
Yeah.
When we are faithful in that.
Yeah. And one of the things I hear you saying is that there's a bit of a letting go, isn't there? I mean, when you say you know best for your family, which I'm guessing drives your own trust and faith in the Lord. I mean, it challenges it and drives you deeper into trusting the
Lord.
Yeah,
Patrick, you know? You're so right. I mean, it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to step back and let go.
Yeah.
And let God.
Yeah.
And then walk with them through any difficulties that they may have in their life. So, yeah, and I think these are some of the things that we feel really important to help grandparents with, because we try to build a community, especially with the upcoming grandparent conference, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, but building that fellowship and that community where we can come together and share these stories in our lives, because we learn so much from others and their actual situations, and also recognizing we're not alone
right.
in some of these life challenges. And, you know, they're as ancient as you know, the beginning of time.
Itself, yes, yeah. Right.
We just read scripture and we see that, yeah. Wow, that happened already. So I'm not alone, and this isn't new territory here.
Right, exactly. Well, right before we get into the Grandparents Conference and the details about that, tell us a little bit about how the grandparent ministry evolved within the Archdiocese.
Yeah. So, you know, when I became when I stepped in and was asked to be the director of the office, there were conversations already. We were looking at family and how we can help beyond marriage, family life. They do amazing work, but we want to be able to go to where, you know, the new areas, new territory. And so grandparents is new. But it's catching on. I'm part of an international conversation, a network. EWTN brought on Father Malin and a team, and they have a whole grandparent show. There's more grandparent books being written and study guides for grandparents, because we're recognizing they have been faithful and going to church all along, but we haven't actually addressed their station in life. At the church. Actually, I get calls from other churches and dioceses outside our own archdiocese and saying, hey, wow, what's going on in your archdiocese? This is great. Tell us about it. And our website is wonderful with resources and information. And so, yeah, I think it's something that is catching on and growing, and it's a new area for the church to pay attention to. And, you know, we've always been here, and so it's kind of nice that they're now catering to some of our needs.
Absolutely.
And helping us with resources.
Not least of which is, as we said, we've got this upcoming annual now,
yeah.
Catholic Grandparents Conference.
Yeah, well, kind of semi-annual.
Semi-annual.
So we're going to talk about that. Hopefully we won't run out of time. But we looked at the dynamic of this grandparent ministry and a grandparent conference. Our first one was 3 years ago, and it was just, you know, groundbreaking. People were walking in like, wow, really? You're doing this for us? And we had Judy Cousins that time, and Bishop Cousins was with us. We always try and make time for praising God, for prayer, for sharing ideas, for listening to speakers and learning about what gifts we have to share with the family and grandparents. And so that's what our conferences have been about, as well as encouraging grandparents, bringing them together in a community, encouraging them to go back to their parishes and maybe start a grandparent ministry at the parish level. But we've also recognized that going on pilgrimage is a good thing too. And so our chaplain, Father Bambanek, has been real instrumental in helping us craft. Now we're looking at every other year. We'll do a conference, and then the other off year we're going to try and we're arranging a grandparent pilgrimage, and we're going to the Holy Land in
nice.
January.
Oh yeah. Man, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
Wow, that's very good. All right, so again, we're running short on time. I'm sorry to say it, but give us some of the details of this upcoming Grandparent Conference.
Yeah, so the Grandparent Conference, our keynote speaker is Marianne Kaharski, and she is a mother of 14, and she has numerous grandchildren. Her family is just growing, and we're just blessed to have her. She was the Relevant Radio Christ Brings Hope Award in 2017.
She was indeed, yep.
And so she's just going to bring a wonderful dynamic to it. But we also have some breakouts. Molly Shore is going to be sharing Living Life Like St. Monica, and we always have this conference right around the Feast of St. Monica. I'm going to be talking about how we can really teach our grandchildren how to pray and have that conversation with Jesus and that relationship. And I think a grandparent, that's something we really can do. And then, Patrick, you're going to be talking
too. I am. Yeah, that's right.
You're going to be sharing
that. I'm going to be talking about how grandparents and the unique gifts that are given to grandparents and how they can discern those and utilize them in their role as grandparents.
Yeah.
Well, Crystal, we'll hit the details of it. Paul and I'll hit it in our events calendar that's coming up. But
yeah.
If there's just one quick thing that you would say to somebody who's wondering whether or not they should attend the Grandparents Conference, what would you say to them?
Well, I would say if you want to make a quick investment, I mean, a one-day investment in your life as a grandparent, it's a good one, because you're going to hear messages. You're going to be with Archbishop Hebda at the end of the day praying for our grandchildren together. And I think that is a an important thing to pray with our shepherd as we lead our families back. Back into a deeper relationship with Jesus. And even if they're already there, we can always go deeper and have that conversion of heart. So I would encourage you to come, bring your spouse, bring your friends. It's going to be a great day.
Wonderful. Crystal Crocker, Director of the Office of Evangelization, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Great. Thank you.
All right. We're going to head into our final break. Paul and I will hit the details of that upcoming Grandparents Conference along with a lot of other ways that you can deepen your relationship with Christ. So stay with us.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you done much with Solanus Casey yourself?
No, but yeah. I'm familiar with
him. I'm very intrigued now. Exactly.
He's a great model. Yeah, humility especially.
Very intrigued. Yeah. I think somewhere along the line he did some beekeeping, and we've invoked him in our own beekeeping.
Oh, okay.
So so that's our little connection. Anyway, what else we got going on?
We'll hit that one first. The Franciscan Brothers of Peace invite you to a drama about the life and times of Blessed Solanus Casey, Sunday, July 28th, 7 p.m., St. Patrick's Church in St. Paul. Tickets at the door, $15 for adults, $12 for seniors and students, $10 for kids 12 and under. And you can also visit the Blessed Solanus Friary next door to the Church of St. Patrick.
Theology on Tap is returned for the summer. Young adults are invited to join the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults at Halftime Rec in St. Paul each Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. for good food, drinks, and fellowship, and great speakers beginning at 7:30. Next topic coming up this Wednesday is July 31st is Grill the Archbishop with Archbishop Bernard Hebda. For more information, visit cathedralstpaul.org.
You're invited to a memorial lecture series at Transfiguration Church, Oakdale, in honor of Father William Baer, former rector of St. John Vianney College Seminary. Inaugural speaker will be Father Rocky, executive director of Relevant Radio. Thursday, August 1st, 7 p.m., his talk is on faith praying well. Following Father Rocky, Bishop Juan Miguel Betancourt will speak August 15th on hope dying well. Bishop Andrew Cousins, August 29th on charity loving well. To find out more, visit transfigurationmn.org or call 651-738-2646.
All right, grandparents, here it is. Save the date, Saturday, August 24th, the date of the Catholic Grandparents Conference. Come and hear God's plan for grandparents and be equipped to pass on a heritage of faith. The Catholic Grandparents Conference will take place on Saturday, August 24th, between 8:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. The conference will include keynote speaker Marianne Kaharsky, founding member and director of Pro-Life Across America, as well as Father Joseph Bamanek, who will be speaking on the topic of bringing healing to your family. We also have an hour of adoration led by Archbishop Bernard Hebda and more. Find out more details and register at CatholicGrandparenting.org.
And what's up next week?
Next week, well, I tell you what was coming up next week. We're celebrating with the Rediscover Hour. We'll prepare for the Feast of the Transfiguration with Father John Paul Erickson, pastor of Transfiguration. Dominican Sister Maria Ivana, principal of St. Croix Catholic School, will get us ready for celebrating St. Dominic on August 8th. And also, Natalie Brandy will tell us about her experience of the Missionary Discipleship Series. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org. and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.